Jason Watson. Win four Flyers tickets loaded with $25 each to spend on concessions, a parking pass, and a Zamboni ride at an upcoming game courtesy of Dietz and Watson, the official Beats and...
Like I promised on the Comcast Business Hotline from Callis Remarks with Joe Stasek and Steve Callis. Here he is, the man, the myth. Steven, how are you, my friend?
All good, Joe. Great to be with you, as always.
You too, pal. We'll try to get to the games last week, because they were compelling as well. But I want to talk about Carson Wentz, because I thought the story was compelling and disturbing. And I want to get your thoughts on how much validity do you believe there is within this story?
Well, I give it a lot of validity. First of all, you can't kill the messenger.
Yep.
Look at the message. Don't kill the messenger. And even though you don't know him, and that's surprising, the guys on the interview did know him, and he certainly sounded pretty convincing to me. But forgetting all of that, this all started with stuff Frank Reich said a year ago. It was furthered by what Josina Anderson said earlier this year. And this writer just really flushed it out, and took it to another level, if you will. I don't see why this is so surprising. And just one word on anonymous sources. In the perfect world, none of us want anonymous sources. Of course, we all want names. As you talked about contracts, et cetera, you're going to have anonymous sources. But much of the journalistic world, frankly, is based on anonymous sources, and it's not just sports. I mean, Watergate, one of the biggest journalistic stories of the 20th century, was all deep throat.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, even Woodward and Bernstein didn't know who their anonymous source was. So they double-checked and triple-checked everything, went with it, and of course they were 100% correct. I think so too here, and I would just point out two things when I was looking at this article. The first one is when he says, and you already talked about this, Wentz didn't want to run many of the concepts because he felt that was, quote, false stuff, close quote, sources said. Now, when you say sources said, that's more than one guy. On the page before in that article, you know, according to multiple sources, Wentz tended to, quote, complicate, close quote, the offense. So when you have one source that says Wentz could complicate 2 plus 2, I don't think someone's standing in a room making that up. I mean, if you want to get your point across, that's a great way to say someone complicates the offense.
Mm-hmm.
So I just find it pretty credible. And again, if there was nothing before this article, maybe there'd be more of a question. But look, I don't particularly like anonymous sources. I've used them from time to time in my life because that's kind of the only way you can get the story. And if the guy says off the record, what are you going to say? No, on the record? Because if it's on the record, then you don't have a story. And I think a lot of that is what happened here. So do I believe it? I said, look, the pressure on Carson Wentz already is incredible. This is just going to put more pressure. And I will say one thing about this whole, what Frank Reich said last year. You know, essentially Carson Wentz said, quote, no, I'm not backing off. This is me. This is how I play. You have to be incredibly disciplined to be Nick Foles. You have to be incredibly disciplined to be a top, top, top quarterback. I thought he would have been the MVP two seasons ago now if he had stayed healthy. He didn't have to play well the last few games. He just had to stay on the field.
Yep.
But you have to be incredibly disciplined for long-term success in the National Football League. And look at these older guys who are still doing it. They're all-time greats because, to me, they're incredibly disciplined, a Drew Brees, a Tom Brady, of course. And I'll, just from watching the game this year, I would say Phillip Rivers, as great as he is not incredibly disciplined and just fell apart in that Patriots game, just as an example. Can you be in the league and play as a good quarterback for a long time and not be disciplined? Absolutely. Am I saying Phillip Rivers is undisciplined? I'm saying they totally got under his skin in that game by blitzing every play, San Diego against or Los Angeles Chargers, I'm sorry, against the Patriots. But in order to be, he's got to be more like Nick Foles. He's more talented. It's everything you say, bigger, stronger, runs faster, throws it better, all of that. But remember the other thing, Joe, the defense built that shrine.
Yeah.
When everyone says, oh, the offense played better, well, the defense played much better. Well, why did the defense play much better? You talk about love in the locker room and everybody loves them. The defense built the shrine. I mean, I think Chris Long built it and Fletcher Cox lit the candles.
Yep.
That means something for a big team, a whole team, offense, defense, a Super Bowl winning team. And I'll say it again, and you know this, I picked a rematch of the Super Bowl before the year started. I picked a rematch of the Super Bowl before the playoffs started. And I think if Alshon Jeffrey caught that ball, they would have won that game and beat the Rams in Los Angeles, because they already had beaten the Rams in Los Angeles. So I just, I think it's not just Foles has something. I think the greatest thing he has is he doesn't throw it better. He doesn't run it better. I think the thing that he has is incredible discipline, and he runs what the coaches want him to run.
Absolutely. I totally agree. I trust my eyes, and I know what I see, and I can match it up with some of these quotes in this story, and that's why I believe it has a lot of credibility. Steve Callis on the Comcast Business Hotline. Steve, before I let you go, we got to talk about the games last week, and we'll get back to Carson Wentz after this segment, but you hit both on the nail, on the head, I should say. You picked both road teams, which was gutsy, and you're 8-2 in the playoffs. You know, what's up with that? What's up with your hotness?
Well, I think the Saints game turned out to be a joke, because rarely do you have a play where one play decides the game, and there's a terrible non-call. So should the Saints have won that game? Yes. And you can say, oh, they had lots of time afterwards. They got the ball in overtime. And all of that is true. This is not Seattle on the goal line against the Patriots. They complete that pass. They win the Super Bowl. Butler picks it off. They lose the Super Bowl. That was a one-play, whole-game kind of thing. But this was a horrific non-call. We talked about it at length on the podcast. I give the Rams credit, but, you know, to hear Coach McVay afterwards, oh, we earned this trip to the Super Bowl, I say, well, yes and no. Because, again, if you make the most obvious non-call a call, that's the most obvious non-call I've ever seen in a big game. And I mean in a big game to win or lose a championship. If they make that call, the game's over. New Orleans takes three knees. Conversely, in the Patriots game, you know, D Ford is offsides, and Andy Reid is intimating, oh, maybe they shouldn't have called that. But D Ford was not in the neutral zone. I thought he was on the Patriots side of the ball.
It was blatant.
So how can you, when they put that blue line out, his hand was over the blue line.
Blatant.
So I don't know how you cannot call that, although, again, the Patriots were kind of lucky in that situation. So, look, they were great games. They could have gone either way, obviously. But I think the Patriots, you know, the other thing I'll just talk about briefly, because I know we don't have much time, is the well, first of all, on the no-call pass interference, I think they should institute a rule, not where a coach gets a challenge on pass interference, where the guys in New York, in a blatant and obvious call that's wrong or non-call that isn't called, I think that the guys in New York should be able to go down to the referee on the field and say, you just missed a blatant pass interference. And it would have to be blatant and egregious, not one of these, did Edelman touch the ball? Was that catch an inch off the ground? Not those. I mean, blatant and obvious. You could only do this in the playoffs because you'd need guys to watch every play. If you give a coach a challenge and he challenges in the third quarter or something that cost them a touchdown, and then this play happens in the fourth quarter, what are they going to say? Oh, you're out of challenges. I don't think that should be the rule either. And in terms of the whole, the Patriots have now won a Super Bowl on a coin flip. You knew in the Atlanta Super Bowl, if they got the coin flip, the game was over. You kind of knew, in my opinion, whoever won the coin flip this past Sunday between the Chiefs and the Patriots, the game was over. I think they should have a 10-minute, I know people are going to say player safety, so I won't say 15, but they should have a 10-minute overtime in the playoffs. At least in that situation, unless you get a 9-minute and 45-second, you know, field goal drive, which could happen in theory, but not much in reality, at least Pat Mahomes would have gotten the ball. But the way it is now, it just feels unfair. And obviously I picked the Patriots to win, but it just feels unfair. And I'll say it again, being at that Atlanta Patriots, Super Bowl, you knew the game was over. My son and I, my wayward son is a Patriots fan, we were sitting next to two diehard Atlanta fans who were killing my son the first three quarters. When they lost the toss in overtime, they left. They didn't even see the seats because they knew what was coming, as did virtually everybody else in the stadium or watching the game at home. So yeah. I think those two things can be corrected. We talked about it at length on the podcast. But again, those two games could have gone either way, and they went the way they went.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.